Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm joined by Mark Davis, as usual.
It's you and me.
Yep.
Look, we had a couple episodes, just you.
Yep.
I think we had one episode with the two of us.
Yeah.
And then it was just me.
Right.
Then we had Elise. It's like when you go on vacation, you come back and someone's visiting and you get someone in the guest room. And all the while, did you really even have a chance for it to just be the two of you remembering why you love each other?
Right. Exactly.
And now here we are.
No offense to Elise.
No,
because she was great.
She was amazing.
Yeah. Good energy there. We actually had our highest first day downloads ever for that episode. So we are cruising. And thanks, Elise, for being a part of that and bringing such fantastic questions.
Absolutely.
We do have a miscorrection to take care of a little later, though.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Other news that we have are, I noticed that our website was looking a little disheveled.
Okay.
So
a little spring cleanup, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Gave it a little bit of a makeover. It should be a little easier to navigate now. We have custom header images for each episode. Before, it was using the same image, and you just kind of, like, you could not tell the personality of any of the episodes individually. So, yeah, I just went through and made some header images that they're all properly licensed to. We won't get sued for any of these. Okay, we shelled out the licensing fee for all these images, but I had fun picking them. Yeah, I see you got them up there.
I do. Yeah.
Any favorites?
Is this Saddam Hussein on this iPhone?
No, that's just a stock image of a man named Antonio.
Okay.
Because the episode is iPhoneo. So it's an iPhone with a, I don't know, I just picked my favorite Antonio image for that one.
Now, did you get licensed to use my face?
No, I thought you'd be okay with it. So there are a couple
of discuss that. I'll have to take 10% off the back end or something.
10%?
No. This looks great.
All right, great.
Yeah, as to where it looked fine before, but this definitely pops more.
So. I think so, yeah. I like the powerful carnival sperm episode. I don't know if you've gotten that far down, but it's a artistic representation of sperm going towards the egg, but I put, like, you know, clown rainbow colors over it. So check that out. Go to the nono.com and check out all of our header images there. I just want to talk about, too, in this intro, while we got the ears of some quizmasters, perhaps. I saw this post on the trivia subreddit that I wanted to run by you. It's by user Jillib. I think that's how you pronounce it. J-I-L-L-I-B. And the title of the post was, Jilly B. The title was, can I get some trivia about the environment? And the post says, I host trivia in a rural area where people generally think that global warming is a myth. Can I get some good trivia to get people's brains thinking about the Earth and being more environmentally conscious? So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the idea of using your quiz as a means of platform for social change and stuff like that?
I usually try not to. I have no problem with it. I understand why people would. I'm going to try and not sound too, like, not too overly serious or whatever, but I mean, I can see using trivia as a platform as kind of like a form of, like, art. Being the person picking the questions and how you phrase them and stuff, you can definitely have, an agenda and trying to make people learn certain stuff. And, kind of get them to a point where they're like, all right, clearly, the way you're phrasing this question about Donald Trump or the way you're phrasing, this question about, the environment or whatever. But for the most part, just like I understand people making music as art, it's just less fun. I think kind of for the grander scheme, for the greater good of trivia being something that that people are trying to go out and have fun for.
Yeah.
I'd rather kind of just make it an hour and a half of escapism.
Right.
Where, people can just kind of forget about all that stuff. But clearly, I mean, this may be a special case where someone's like, we're in trouble. I live in an area where I can make some difference possibly. So,
yeah, part of me thinks that this is probably like pretty deep rooted belief in this Quizmaster's player base, like if they're not convinced, by all of the information that society is dumping on them about climate change, then they're probably not going to be convinced about it via trivia. I mean, you can ask the questions, you know, you can have some environmentally focused questions and stuff like that. But I don't really know what you're going towards. You know, like you said, I think most people go to trivia to have some escapism. And even with music, it's much more emotional. And I think people are expecting, you know, to have certain biases, you know, exhibited during that. But for trivia, I think that people are largely looking to just like have a good time. And if you get too preachy with it, you might actually lose players. They might stop coming. And like I said, you just got to kind of ask yourself, like, what are you working towards in particular here? I mean, I agree with the sentiment 100%.
Well, and, you know, it's funny. I was actually having a conversation with Mike C.
Mm-hmm. Rumble Snailskin.
Indeed. And he was talking to me about a vegan Facebook group that he's on, mm-hmm. where someone said, my husband has been diagnosed with cancer. I want to know what root vegetables or whatever that he can eat to get rid of his cancer. Mm-hmm. And they were like, do not talk to me about, you chemo. Know, chemo and all mm-hmm. that stuff. We're not doing that, blah, 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 blah. And he was kind of like, he was like, there was like 100 comments before someone was like, take your husband to a hospital. And he was like talking about how shocked he was. And I was like, man, if all of the science in the world has not convinced them that chemotherapy is the right way to go, mm-hmm. then what is someone on Facebook going to say
right.
that's going to change their mind?
Gee, I never thought about going to a hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, well, if you can have 99 out of every 100 scientists agree that global warming is an issue, and even if it isn't an issue, that these things that we do have a negative effect on the environment and we should still curtail them, mm-hmm. if that isn't enough, then do you think that your trivia is going to be the thing that makes someone go, geez, you know what? I've been fucking up. I'm glad I came to this bar to try and have a couple drinks and play trivia and got, you know, kind of preached to. Now, I mean, that being said, I know that we have a lot of politically minded people that listen to our podcast that we know. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying. If that's something you want to do and the place that you're doing trivia at is fine with it, then, you know, hey, take a stab at it, because even if you change one person's mind, you know, it could be a domino effect. But
yeah,
I mean, I would ask the owners of Nice Guys if I was going to do something like that and say, hey, like, are you okay with me making this like a political stance? Are you okay with me, you know, kind of like pushing my wares and making this less about trivia in general and more about the specific thing? Or, you know, do you think that's going to bum people out and make people just be like, well, if this is what this is, fuck off.
Right. And I think it's, yeah, when generally if you're doing a theme night or a theme round, totally different story. You know, you're presenting it and you're saying this is what you're getting into. But as a quiz master, I try to put my personal biases aside totally.
Yeah.
Like my goal is basically when I'm hosting, if anything political comes up in general, I don't want my players to know what I actually think inside. Yeah. I want them to be like, I can't tell. Does he lean left or does he lean right? Because in that way, you appeal to everybody. And when you appeal to them, they're going to want to come back and you're going to be able to build up your regular player base.
Yeah, I guess I feel the same way. But I mean, I'm less concerned about people coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I do like people at my trivia and everything. But I just want whoever happens to be there to have a good time that one time, regardless of what happens from there. I don't want it to become a preachy thing. And again, I can't stress this enough. Like, being a musician, I have a lot of respect for people who make their art a platform for how they feel about stuff. I feel like, you know, the arts in general, whether it be, you know, painting and visual arts and or music or whatever, there's been a lot of, you know, a change is going to come, and like music and movies and stuff that has been very, very important. I don't know if I'd put trivia in the same respect necessarily yet, but, you know, if that's what people want to do and they have the you know, the backing from their place, then go for it.
Yeah.
You know, I've done trivia for places that have asked me to do just real estate trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I did trivia for, Gather. Mm-hmm. For their Halloween or for their holiday party. And they wanted all food-based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that. But by and
that's
large,
not as controversial, though.
Yeah, no, no.
Like when people that don't believe in climate change hear climate change, I feel like their hair probably stands up on end a little bit, you know?
Well, it's not controversial, but it's also asked for. And I mean, I guess that's kind of my point, is that when you kick in the door to a place that invites you in and asks you to do trivia there, and then you go, you take the bull by the horns and decide that you're going to make it all about one specific thing. And, you know, the bartenders are going, why is this guy just asking? He's asking another question that's like negative Donald Trump.
Right.
It's like, okay, now like
how many icebergs are there currently?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. How many cans of fucking hairspray, motherfucker? What does CFC stand for? You know, then I think it becomes a little too heavy handed, maybe. And like I said, I mean, in large part, I think the first thing you've got to do is ask the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
And then if they say yes, then you've got to be like, all right, I know that I'm going into a hot room with a bunch of people that, you know, don't believe the stuff that I'm going to try and like cram down their throats for the umpteenth time.
Yeah.
And just kind of know what you're getting yourself into.
If you have a good rapport with your players, though, you could probably still get away with it a little bit. Like they go, oh, you know, here comes the climate change question. We know,
yeah.
You know, Jilib. We know Jilib.
Yeah. Old Jilib.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's really circumstantial, but. Yeah, I just thought we could talk about that a little bit because I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting approach and question.
It is. So yeah, I mean, Jilib, if you have the blessing of your venue and that's what you want to do, go about it. But I don't, you know,
I would tread lightly personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, be subtle about it.
Maybe make a round about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, or a question each round. So you're kind of like peppering it in.
The idea to get people's brains thinking about the earth. I think there's something there, you know, like you're not maybe directly asking about, you know, the number of icebergs, but if you're talking about, you know, the polar ice caps and in general, you know, and putting that stuff in where people aren't thinking like, oh, this is a climate change question, you know, and it's actually just getting them thinking about the environment that maybe they don't get in their day-to-day life, then I think that would be totally appropriate.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks for sharing your opinions on that, Mark. And you want to get into the weekly wrap-up?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah.
All right. Sweet, sweet music.
Last Wednesday on June 5th at Bury Me Brewing Company, the Rat Finkensteins beat 10 other teams with a total of 92 points. Ooh. We had a packed house on Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing Company. And then on June 6th, at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, such and such won.
Such and such.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That's tonight. We're recording right now, so I'll cut this in later. But
you said that with such conviction.
Can I get some reactions from you, like both a wow and a aw, just okay, in case.
Sure. Wow. Aw.
That's perfect. Maybe we'll even leave that in. I don't know. How'd your teams do on Wednesday night? Mark.
Good. We had the first and second round won by the Da Vinci Load.
Never fails.
Never fails.
So what is this, their eighth week in a row? This has got to be Jamie's team.
We were actually talking about it. I've got to go back and listen to the episodes and find out because I don't keep my team, you know, I don't keep any of my stuff. So
right.
I'll have to go back and listen. But they won the first and second round. However, the last round, Family Bondage Night won with 62 points.
Oh, okay. So they did not win.
No. This is the first week they haven't won in a while. And they actually got the last question right.
Mm.
But.
Not enough.
They only wagered 1 point.
Mm.
What if you fall? Oh, but my Lee. What if you fly?
Yes.
So they played it safe, but it didn't end up working out in their favor this week.
I had a similar situation where only one team got the final question, which I will be asking you. But they only wagered 10. And if they had done the full 21, totally different story.
Damn.
Different outcome, yeah.
Double damn.
Congratulations to all of those teams. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, on Wednesday, June 12th, we will be at Bury Me Brewing Company, 7 p.m. The Meat Cottage will be there with their authentic German food offerings.
Get that schnitzel and get it early.
Do it. They had a Balkan grill plate this week, which had one meat skewer and then two meats that were not on skewers, but still in the long form. And those have German names that I can't remember nor pronounce, even if they were in front of me. But after that, go check out Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza, hosted by Mark Davis. That will also be on Wednesday, June 12th.
That's me.
Starts at 9, right?
9 o'clock.
Yeah. And then on Thursday, June 13th, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7:30 p.m. The Meat Cottage will join us there as well.
Damn.
The final category? That's to be determined. Because we're going to host the trivia tonight and see who picks what. And then mark your calendars on Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. We start a run of Ladies Night Trivia hosted by the lovely Kyle Ann. You may recognize her from a few episodes of The No-No. Go to the guest page on our website to listen to those.
And
mm-hmm.
your fiance.
Yes. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Failed to mention on the last episode. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I know you were trying to kind of keep it a little bit under wraps there. You wanted to tell all the important people like me and me and everybody else and me.
Yep.
But now the word's out there.
The word is out.
The word is out. So congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. She spilled the beans on her. She was the guest on the Three Song Stories podcast hosted by our previous guest, Mike and Irie.
Yeah.
So we were like, all right, cat's out now. So how are we going to do this? So are we just going to tell everybody? Here we are.
And there you go.
But yeah, it was great way to wrap up the trip. It was our last day in Austin, and she wanted to go to the I Love You So Much mural.
Mm-hmm.
And she was describing it to me. We were driving over there, and I was thinking, shit, I don't have a ring. And this sounds like it could be like a really good moment to do it. And I had previously thought, shit, I don't have a ring. This would be a great moment to do it when she had taken me to David Byrne concert for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to pass the moment up again. So despite the fact that I wasn't prepared, yeah, I went down on one knee and I didn't think about it ahead of time, but I feel like I was basically begging her, even though I was fairly confident that she would say yes. Maybe it's because I was on one knee, but I was just like, please, please spend the rest of your life with me. She's so great.
I think you told me last week, you said, oh, and I get down on one knee, and I was like, what did she say? The answer was yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was yes. So at first she said, are you serious? A couple times. And I was like, I am serious. Look at me right now.
Please. You know, my knee hurts. I'm old.
But anyways, come congratulate Kyle Ann. You can write me an email, but come congratulate Kyle Ann on June 18th. That will be at Gather in Cape Coral.
The aforementioned Gather.
Yes. And I want to thank you too for making that connection. I know they reached out to you to do some trivia and you threw me their way, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've just got a lot going on. I thought about it, but I said, you know, I think I got too much going on. However,
mm-hmm.
I know just the guy.
Right.
Boom.
Yep. Gave him a call and explained what we were about, and it was a great conversation. So we're looking forward to that. We currently have 4 events booked there. Every Tuesday, we're going to be doing Ladies Night through mid-June to mid-July. And if things go well, turnout's good, we'll keep it going there.
Nice.
Yeah. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you? Ooh. See, I did that.
Something
drone
happened
note.
There.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in church for a second.
Yeah. I had a Benedictine monk.
Amen.
I did have a very monkey feel. Oh.
Monkey from Korn?
Speaking of Korn.
Oh, let's not.
As a Korn lover from back in the day.
Yeah.
What are your feelings about Mike Huckabee playing bass with Head? Was it Head he played with?
I think
it was.
Mm-hmm. This just cements the fact that we're on the dark timeline right now. You know, we're just, of course, Mike Huckabee is playing Blind by Korn with Head on his show.
If you had to give Mike Huckabee a Korn name, what would it be? Because we know we got Fieldy.
Yeah.
I guess now the former bassist of Korn, now that Huckabee
I would say Mikey is sufficiently immature to be in that band.
I was thinking Huck.
Huck? Yeah. Head, Monkey, and Huck.
Huck.
Fieldy. Yeah.
Hucky.
Hucky. Huck. All right, we're going to take a little break, listen to some Korn, and then we'll be back with some questions, round one.
Back.
with some good corn.
He came in so quiet.
Yeah, I got a frog in my throat. Yeah.
That was a good break.
Well, because we were screaming along to corn.
Yeah, I was like, I can see you, I'm going blind. Just kidding, I was like, I'm going to pretend like I don't know the gibberish memorized right now.
All right, let's start off with what I think will be a relatively easy question.
Okay.
Who are the brother and sister in the Jetsons? What are their names?
His name is Elroy. Elroy.
So far, so good.
His son, Elroy. See, the answers are right here in the theme song.
If you know the theme song.
But what is his sister's name? Meet George Jetson?
His boy, Elroy?
Mm-hmm. Did Elroy get further, like, more, like a better position in that song than the wife and daughter?
Yeah, it was the 1970s.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is George his son and then the women in their life?
Probably the dog before the women.
Yeah. Astro, right?
Yep.
See, and this does not bode well because I can remember all of their names, but I vaguely remember the name Jane, but I can't remember if Jane is the wife or the daughter. Jane is Elroy. Jane and Elroy? That doesn't match. I'm going to say Jane is the mom's name, which would make the daughter Judy. Judy Jetson. I think it's Judy. I'm going to go with Judy and Elroy.
That's correct.
Man.
Good job.
Yeah. So last night at trivia, I mentioned the dark place, and one of my players was like, I like to call it a mind palace. And I
That's
like
from
that.
From something.
It is? Oh. Well, mind either way, I like the aesthetic. The dark place, that's like where you're born in trivia. It's really dark. You're like in Plato's cave. The outside world just does not exist. But the mind palace, that is just
the mind palace. However,
yeah, that's like a library of.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up. I know that's from something.
Okay. Well, here's your first question. The category is German food. Yeah. Shout out to the meat cottage. Yeah.
Deep inside of you.
And I asked them if they could make this. And they said no, because for a variety of reasons we'll talk about.
Okay.
But the name for a traditional egg noodle dish in German cuisine is commonly known as what? What is the name of a traditional egg noodle dish in German cuisine?
This is just one of those things where I know so many names of stuff, but I don't know what any of it is, like borscht.
Mm.
But I think that's Russian.
Isn't that a beet soup?
I think so. I don't know. I'm going to go with, I'm thinking of that joke. What do you call a field of masturbating cows?
I don't know. What do you?
Beef stroganoff. Stroganoff sounds Russian too, though. What sounds German? But beef stroganoff, I know, has egg noodles. So I'm going to go with stroganoff.
It is not stroganoff. That is Russian. You're right. Okay. But that's the main answer that I got when I asked this question. The correct answer is spetzel. Have you heard of spetzel?
Oh.
Spetzel is so old that it was typically made by hand because they did not have machines or tools. They would just, it's like an ancient food, basically. And the originators of this food thought that they looked like tiny birds because they're just little broken up pieces of egg pasta. Spatz is Swabian for sparrow, and Swabian is like a southern German area, like kind of close to France. So spetzel literally means little sparrows. And it was originally known as a hard times food because the cereal grains could be grown in poor soil. But after industrialization, it became known as a festival food, eaten on special occasions. Currently, it's regionally protected in Europe, which means that if it's to be offered commercially, at least part of the production must take place in the defined region, which would be the Swabian Alb.
So it's kind of like a champagne thing where It's not Spetzel and if it's not grown in the Damarian Schaub or whatever.
Yeah, the Swabian Alb.
Whatever. You know what I'm
doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh, exactly. That's interesting. It's exactly like that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's crazy because Duffy's sports bar.
Yeah, one of our haunts.
Which I love.
Yeah.
They had for Oktoberfest a couple years ago, they had a schnitzel and you could get Spetzel as the side, but... It didn't look like egg noodle anything. It was just like these like really big.
I thought it was potatoes when I first saw it before I ate it. You know, it kind of has this like a gnocchi vibe to it, but it's it's an egg pasta. Unless it's hard times and you don't have any eggs, then it's flour.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. Here is your second question. Which country supplies the guards who protect the Pope?
Wow, that's a good question.
There is one specific country.
Hmm. My first thought was Italy. But I think since, you know, I'm feeling like it might be Greece, though, even though their economy, you don't know if you want to be spending a lot of money shipping guards over to, I guess it's probably close. Actually, it's probably not that far away, but I'm going to go with Greece.
The correct answer is Switzerland.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I thought that was interesting, too.
That's strange, but interesting.
It's interesting. When I asked it last night, someone was like, easy. And I was like, really? Because I had no fucking clue.
Oh, they knew it.
They knew it.
So they said easy and they got it right.
Yeah. Well, I think they got it right. Yeah. Hmm. But only two teams, I think, got it right.
Oh, I wonder what the relationship is there. Like, why Switzerland? Was the Pope just like, you shall provide the gods? I'll provide the god. You provide the gods.
Well, it's doubly interesting because when I think of... when I think of countries that would be probably anti-Catholicism, Switzerland kind of pops into my mind for some reason, just because
maybe that's why taking all their guards
so indifferent.
Yeah.
About everything, you know, that whole region seems pretty like
passive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to be like, oh, here's some people to protect the Pope. It's like, what the fuck do you care? But maybe I'm dead wrong.
Hmm. If anybody knows, feel free to write in. We love listener feedback. We got a good miscorrection to read later. Stick around for that. My second question for you, the category is Lee and Rhymes. Get it?
No,
I'm
cute.
Lee. Here's a question about rhymes.
Gotcha.
Also known as an imperfect rhyme or a half rhyme, what is the orientational term for a type of rhyme that shares the same vowel or consonant sound in the stressed syllables?
Jesus, I need that one more time.
Sure. Also known as an imperfect rhyme or a half rhyme, what is the orientational term for a type of rhyme that shares the same vowel or consonant sounds in the stressed syllables?
I don't understand this question at all.
Hmm. Okay. So it's a type of rhyme that is also known as an imperfect rhyme or a half rhyme.
Right.
And there is a term that's used to describe this that has to deal with orientation, direction. That's the hint. I thought this was, you were definitely going to get this as a musician, lyricist. You've written some songs.
Not much of a lyricist.
You've written some though.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the art of songcraft.
A half rhyme.
Mm-hmm. It's also known as a sprung rhyme. But the question was getting pretty long as it is, so. But what is the orientational term used to describe this?
The band Soul Asylum rhymed funeral and urinal in a song. Is that what you're talking about? Like a near rhyme? Like they don't really rhyme, but.
Yeah, it's close. I don't know if that would be exactly one of these because I'm not sure the. Urinal, funeral, urinal. Yeah, I mean the R and the N. kind of, they're not exact rhymes. So yeah. I would say this is one of those rhymes. Caught me off guard with that one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I brought my own example, like from my own song, okay. Coastin'.
Yeah.
Available on Spotify for the time being, at least. I think I made $2 off that track last year. Hey. Yeah. Making a profit. The line fire starter like a Charlie, writer king like a Stephen. I spark the kindling on sleepy folks every weekend. Stephen and weekend are this type of rhyme.
Yeah. Orientation. Direction.
That's your hint.
I don't know. I'll say a down rhyme.
Okay. I mean, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
But it is known as a slant rhyme.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Hmm. Okay. Nope. Wow. Well, yeah. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. A slant rhyme. I hate imperfect rhymes.
Mm. You like pure rhymes?
There's two things I hate.
Mm-hmm.
Imperfect rhymes. If you're going to rhyme, rhyme. If you're not going to rhyme, don't. And when people rhyme the same word.
Mm. Yeah. So this is used to kind of break up, like, especially in hip hop, it's used to break up cliches.
Yeah. And I get it in hip hop because there are so many lyrics.
You're just rhyming all the time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but
it's rhyme time.
All right. Here is your third question.
Mm-hmm.
In what year did the Tiananmen Square protests take place?
Well, what I do know is that this is a current events question, technically, even though it took place a long time ago, because I believe it was the anniversary last week of the protests. So I'm going to say it's probably, you know, an even number from now, 2019. And I was not alive in the 70s, but that should be about 50 years ago. So I'm going to go with 1979. That's my answer.
The correct answer is 1989.
Oh, okay. Was it the 40th then, or is my math off?
Yeah, I think is that. No, it's 30.
30.
Because I'm 40. 89, 99, shit. 09, 19. 30 year.
Okay. 89. 89 is the answer, though.
Yes, 1989.
Okay. My third question for you for this round is a Star Wars question. Though he is no longer invited to official events for, quote, burning too many bridges, according to Star Wars creator George Lucas, David Prowse is best known for his portrayal of what character in the Orridge Tridge, the original trilogy?
Well, I know it's funny the reason that I know this. It is not because of his character in the Orridge Tridge, but because he also acted in one of my favorite movies of all time. A Clockwork Orange.
Oh. Who did he play in that?
So in A Clockwork Orange, he plays the bodybuilding bodyguard of the writer, whose wife is previously, trigger warning, raped and attacked by Alex and his droogs.
So he's in that scene in the beginning or something?
He's not in the beginning scene. Oh, okay. So Alex ends up back at his house. But this time when he goes, he's got this huge motherfucker lifting weights and stuff while he writes.
Wow.
And the guy is gigantic. He's very tall. He's very large.
Did that come out before Star Wars? I think so, right?
When did Star Wars come out? 1977,
I want to say.
77? It was right around that time.
Yeah.
Hey, give me that big motherfucker right there. I want him.
Hey, who's that man? Yeah. I want him.
Yeah, he played Darth Vader.
Wow. Yes, that's right. Darth Vader is the correct answer. David Prowse fell out with director George Lucas after he was accused of leaking the crucial plot detail.
I remember hearing
that Darth
about this.
Vader was Luke Skywalker's father before the release of 1980's Empire Strikes Back.
Gotcha.
Prowse says that he does not remember leaking anything, but while talking to the 1978 graduating class of UC Berkeley before the film's release, Prowse made this statement. Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are hooked up in a do-or-die lightsaber duel when Luke learned that Darth is, in fact, his long-lost father. Prowse told the audience, father can't kill son, son can't kill father. So they live again to star in Star Wars. It says four. I don't, bad quote. But yeah, you get the gist. It has been claimed by Prowse that he, it has been claimed that Prowse was upset because his voice wasn't used in the original
films.
That
is what I had heard. Yeah. That he was under the impression that his voice was going to be used. And then when he found out he was getting overdubbed, he was very displeased.
Right. Yep. And he claims, Prowse claims that the reason that he wasn't used is because it would have been too expensive to fly him over to America to do the dubs. But he also figures that he upset Lucas due to his appearance in the documentary, The People versus George Lucas, which is an anti-George Lucas documentary. So yeah, kind of a sad ending for David Prowse. He's still around. He makes a living attending fan conventions, just not official Star Wars ones, while he concentrates on rehabilitating his health, which his problems range from debilitation due to hip surgery as well as forgetfulness.
Plus, I mean, he lost an arm. Lost a leg.
Well, that was James Earl Jones.
No. He's got the breathing contraption.
That's another thing. Like I guess Lucas presumably told him, you'll in the Return of the Jedi, when they take the mask off, you'll be that person. And they ended up using a different actor first before replacing that actor with Hayden Christensen ended later. Up
using an older Billy Joel.
It kind of looks like him.
If you've seen a couple pictures of him playing harmonica as he is now, and how the resemblance is more than striking.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
Oh, we'll put a link, by the way, to the original audio of David Prowse voicing Darth Vader. Just a different take, really, on the character.
Oh, interesting.
We'll put that up in the show.
I've never heard that, actually. All right, that's three questions.
You got three?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I started.
All right.
So now we're going to take a break.
And then we're
going to come back with a miscorrection.
Yeah. Yep. That's right, Mark.
And a second round of trivia.
Do it. Back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Missed corrections. All right. I just want to forever replace that missed corrections with Elise saying missed corrections because it was so funny. You heard it be like missed corrections.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. We have a self missed correction.
Uh-oh.
During the question that you asked about give me liberty or give me death to identify the speaker, the name Nathaniel Hale was thrown out as a potential answer, and Elise said that he was a U.S. soldier. It was actually Nathan Hale. Nathaniel Hale is better known by his alias, the rapper, who went by Nate Dogg. Nate Dogg's real name is Nathaniel Hale. So that's probably why she got confused about that.
I'm sure she's a big Nate Dogg fan.
We also mentioned in the last episode, The Lone Ranger. And we were like, who wrote that? The character. The Lone Ranger actually first appeared in a 1933 radio show, which was conceived either by WXYZ radio station owner George W. Trendle or the show's writer Fran Stryker. The Lone Ranger did not appear in a novel until a few years later, 1936. I did not know that. I thought that was a book creation, but a radio show creation instead. And then we have a particularly lengthy note from listener Mo. I love it, though.
You Mo know, Rocca. Nothing.
Yeah. Or Mo from Guts, if you remember.
Agro Craig.
Yeah. Was she a referee? She was like a commentator.
A host, wasn't she? Yeah. She was like a hostess.
The guy always threw it to her. He's like, take it away, Mo.
Yeah.
She'd be like, thank you, Mark.
Down here on the base of the Agro Craig, we've seen 17 young people dragged down from frostbite.
Oh, man. So many dreams of going on that show and impressing Mo with my Agro Craig climbing skills. But never happened.
Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da.
Guts. Nice. Hire us, Nickelodeon. Anyways, on to this other Mo. This other Mo. I don't know if I should say that like that.
Yeah.
This Mo right here.
This Mo.
That is a connotation. Mo, our listener Mo, writes, "Hey, Mark and Lee, my name is Mo, and I'm a fellow Floridian living near Miami. I love the show. It keeps my brain active and provides hearty chortles during my tedious workday. I'm just writing in with a quick missed correction." Actually says whisper here, so.
Awesome.
So in episode 48 in the Sarks at minute 71 and 7 seconds, Lee tells Elise that he does not know the name of Don Quixote's friend in the story. Elise says that his name is Pancho Villa, but it's actually Sancho Panza. Pancho Villa was an actual Mexican general in real life, not a character.
What a great miscorrection. Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, at my trivia at Bury Me on Wednesday, I did a birthday's bonus round. And whose birthday was it but Pancho Villa's? So the same day that this email came in, it happened to be his birthday. Just crazy coincidence. Mo continues, "In all honesty, the reason that I remember Sancho Panza is because of an episode of Johnny Bravo, where his mom is dating a smooth-talking South American man named Raul. At one point, Johnny picks up Raul and chucks him across the room into a McDonald's-style ball pit, which causes Raul to exclaim, 'Sancho Panza!' I remember watching this episode when I was learning about Don Quixote in school, and it's stuck ever since. Also, my siblings and I use Sancho Panza as a substitute expletive from time to time, like when we stub our toe or witness an electrical fire. I recommend it." Mo ends the note by saying, "I'd love to come see you guys live at Nice Guys someday. I'll be the guy screaming Sancho Panza as he kicks the saloon doors and open." Mo.
So now, thank you, Mo, yes. First of all.
Mm-hmm. For great miscorrection.
Yeah, great story. So now I'm wondering if we live in a world where Sancho from the song Santeria is Sancho Panza.
Interesting. I can't remember the context of the lyrics.
Can you imagine?
Papa Cap'n Sancho? Is that the line? Yep,
and I'd slap her down. Mm. Yeah.
A little domestic abuse lyric.
A little domestic abuse. Well, from a heroin addict. Yeah. I mean, what more can be expected?
Bradley Nowell.
All right. Big rip.
He's kind of got the same thing that Jim Morrison has going on, where people either love him or hate him. There's no middle ground. No one has casual opinions about Bradley Nowell.
First of all, can I just say?
Yeah.
I should not have been so dismissive of heroin addicts to say that they're automatically domestic abusers.
Yeah.
All right. I own that. I apologize.
Live missed correction right there.
Yeah. Whispered miscorrection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he was talented for sure.
Yeah. They both have that, like, you know, that characteristic where great poets, aside from that line, you know, we won't shout that out as their best line, but you know, Sublime has some good lyrics, you know, in many tracks. And
okay,
no,
yeah, yeah, they're right.
They're
kind of dirt bags, or he's kind of a dirt bag. Thinking of a lot of the lyrics, even to their latter stuff.
Yeah.
You know, wrong way. Cigarette was between their lips.
I'm going to walk that back now.
Miscorrection.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jim Morrison, I mean, similar too, probably.
Yeah. But I'm sure they had maybe some political stuff, but the more I think about their lyrics, the more I'm just like, eh. I mean, date rape, you know, but even that was like, oh, he's going to get raped.
I thought that, yeah. I always took that song to be kind of a, like a satirical, like mocking people that have to,
it's like a cautionary tale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but anyway, both of these men died young. They did not really mature, I think, past their immature larval stage, you know. And like Marilyn Manson has.
Yeah, where now he's hanging out with Taylor Swift. He's getting those ribs put back in.
Yeah.
The days of sucking my own dick are over.
But yeah, they are certainly iconic, you know, and that's why we tend to talk about them in trivia too. They are, you know, cultural icons, basically.
Indeed.
But Mo, thank you for the miscorrection.
Thanks, Mo.
And we're done sticking our foot in our mouth now. Let's go ahead and get into trivia.
And stick our foot in our mouth with our trivia.
My category for this round, my first category, is women in history.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Araminta Ross, a nurse, spy, and woman's suffrage activist, was born in 1820 on a plantation in Dorchester County, Maryland, and is better known by what name? Who is Araminta Ross?
God damn. Um, 1889?
1820 was her birthday.
1820.
And I'll tell you, just as a hint, she lived to the ripe age of 90.
There's just so much I don't know about. I just wish I could get, like, all of the world history just downloaded into my brain. I just want to know everything that happened.
I know you're not a fan of books, but I did come across a great book.
Makes me sound so stupid. I know you don't like the whole reading thing.
But the book is like, I can't think of the title right now. But it's basically like, this is everything that you should know from high school condensed into one easy volume, you know, with about a paragraph write-up of each important fact.
Is that where you got this from?
That is not where I got this from. But I did buy that book, and I haven't read it yet.
Perfect. That's what would happen.
So I'm just as bad off. But
Araminta Ross, born in 1820. Mm-hmm. She was a spy. She was involved in the women's suffrage movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
A nurse.
A nurse.
Yeah.
A nurse. I'm going to go with Florence Nightingale because I know she's a nurse. I know she's from a while ago. I'm going to go with that.
That's a really good guess. You know, to solo sus. You solo sus that, but not completely. It is not Florence Nightingale. We know Araminta Ross as Harriet Tubman.
You know, I was going to fucking guess her.
Yeah.
God damn it. Born on a fucking plantation should have told me that she wasn't fucking white.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe you were trying to like fucking
trick
push me in the wrong direction.
Ah.
Fucking Harriet
I do that
Tubman.
Sometimes, yeah.
And a spy because of the fucking Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck!
Yep.
God damn it.
She made 13 rescue missions.
I got hung up on nurse.
Yeah.
The one fucking thing you gave me that I shouldn't have gotten hung up on, I got hung up on nurse.
Yeah.
Motherfuck.
13 rescue missions. Her nickname was Moses. Did you know that?
Harriet Tubman's a fucking badass.
Yeah. She changed her name after her marriage to John Tubman, who was a free black man. Little is known about him or their relationship, but mixed marriages between free and enslaved blacks was relatively common at the time. She first attempted escape in the year 1849 with her brothers, but they got cold feet and returned after they saw a wanted poster for them, and they dragged her along with them. But she escaped again after that on herself, which was basically when the Underground Railroad was established, which, if you're not keen to that, it's a well-organized system that was composed of both free and enslaved blacks, white abolitionists, and other activists. She later became a woman suffrage activist and died at the age of 90 at a home for elderly African Americans that she helped establish.
Damn.
Yep.
What a fucking badass.
Yeah. And you've heard, of course,
she's supposed to be on the $20 bill at some point.
Yeah. So during the Obama administration, they said, we're going to take that piece of shit Andrew Jackson off. And I know I said earlier, like, not to isolate, you know, your players and everything, but
right.
Andrew Jackson was a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the Trump.
Now, that's not to say he didn't do anything positive at all.
Right.
But
he was
overwhelmingly,
he
was a dickhead.
He was worse than Bradley Knoll and Jim Morrison combined. I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said before in a post that you may have seen that I think one of the biggest problems is hyperbole
mm-hmm.
and people getting hung up on, you know, when you say, oh, someone was a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Someone's like, well, what about this thing they did? It's like, I feel like to get people to listen, you have to be like, look.
Yeah.
I know this person did some good in the world. Fantastic. But also,
the Trail of Tears.
Hear me out.
It's called the Trail of Tears for a reason.
Look at how fucking terrible all this other shit they did is.
Yeah.
So great. They fucking, you know, started this thing, which was good. But they also did all these other things that are terrible. So
I don't. Yeah, I think with him, you know, it makes sense to take him off the currency. Basically, he's not that, you know, he wasn't that much of an American revolutionary, I don't think, considering his crimes against humanity, basically. We shouldn't honor somebody like that. I don't know if you've heard about the artist Dan O'Wall. Did you see what he's doing? He's made rubber stamps, 3D printable rubber stamps.
I didn't know the name. Yeah.
Yeah. And his whole mission is to sell these stamps and have people stamp Harriet Tubman's face onto the $20 bill,
yeah,
which I think is, you know, that's a good example of art, you know, being, you know, somewhat politicized, right, but also having, I think, some good social value to it as well.
Absolutely. Speaking of social value.
Yeah.
What state after California became the second to require schools to teach LGBT history? This just happened very recently.
California has a rich LGBT history. That's basically where the movement started in San Francisco, with the, I can't think of the name now, the Stone riots, Stonewall riots. But where else? What other state? I'm trying to think now of some progressive states. I gotta think it's gotta be New York. Wait, did the Stonewall riots took place in California, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going with New York.
You're very close. New Jersey.
Really?
New Jersey.
Yep. Really?
The second state to make it so schools had to teach LGBT history.
Time to catch up, New York.
Indeed.
Your second question, category is horse anatomy. I know I'm not going to ask you about the dick.
Damn. What about the balls?
Nope. We're going down south. Okay.
Well, that is down south.
Well, for a horse, it's like east or west.
Oh, okay.
Depending on which way it's directed. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Triangular in shape. What animal's name is also the term for the underside of a horse's hoof?
Can you ask that again?
Sure. Triangular in shape. What animal's name is also the term for the underside of a horse's hoof?
Hoof. Triangular in shape.
Mm-hmm.
What animal's name is also the name of the underside of a horse's
hoof?
Man, what animal? Underside of a horse's hoof.
I had one out of the 11 teams get this right. Someone knew their horses.
There are so many animals.
Mm-hmm.
Triangular in shape. The underside of the horse's hoof is triangular in shape.
So if you picture a horseshoe shape in your mind, and
if you skip it in your mind.
Yeah. Which another miscorrection, that episode title is I Can Skip It in My Dreams, not in my mind. We've been misquoting it this whole time. I know because I just uploaded all those headers. It's like, gotcha. Oh shit. By the way, no licensed photos of Skip It's, unfortunately, sadly. Probably Photoshop them together. But anyway, if you picture a horseshoe shape in your mind, there would be a inverted triangle towards the front.
Okay. I don't see how.
It covers about a quarter of the hoof shape.
Okay.
And it actually, in healthy horses, extends beyond the bottom of the hoof toe. Slightly.
Look, I don't know. There are so many animals in the world. The bottom side of a horse's hoof.
I'll give you a hint. This is a creature that a frog could likely step. Oh, I said frog. Fuck.
Frog.
Yes, it's frog. Oh, damn it. Oh, well. You were going to get that. You could admit that.
No, there is no way.
Yeah, it's called, so I was going to say, it's a creature that the horse might step on. So it's known as the frog. The frog acts as a shock absorber, which lessens the stress that's placed on the bones and joints of the leg. And it also plays an important part of a horse's circulatory system. Each time the frog makes contact with the ground, it shoots blood back up the leg.
Oh.
So many, and for these reasons, whenever a... a horse is getting a pedicure, you know, from his caretakers, they usually leave the frog unattended. You know, they want it to be big, big and bold.
Yeah.
That frog.
They want a big, bulbous frog.
Sorry for spoiling that.
No, it's fine. I would never have gotten that in a million years. All right. Here's your next question. What is acetyl salicylic acid commonly known as? That is such a blank stare.
Yeah. Acetosalicylic?
Acetyl salicylic acid, better known as.
So, my brain is going towards the human body, which has acids in it, as well as the periodic table, which I'm largely unfamiliar with. Getting better by the day, though.
Good.
I find it helps when you write more trivia questions, you know, that are based on chemistry. You get to look at that chart a little bit. And I'm also thinking about nutrition.
Are you?
Yeah. Acetosalicylic acid?
Acetyl. What is acetyl salicylic acid better known as?
So it starts with an A, E, C, which reminds me of Tylenol. Because that's like, that's got the same beginning. I don't know. Acetyl salicylic. Silica. Hairs? Acetyl salicylic acid. I don't know. I'm leaning away from nutrition now. I think I'm sussing out to the human body and something maybe related to the head. Acid. Wait. Is the answer LSD? I don't know. I feel like that could be the scientific name for LSD. And it's certainly easier to pronounce that than it is acetyl salicylic acid. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with LSD, the drug.
The correct answer is aspirin.
I was right, kind of barking up the right tree with the Tylenol thing.
Absolutely.
And then I don't know. I got scared and left.
It's okay.
I left that answer.
Hey, it's okay to be scared.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. All right. I've got a music question for you for my third question for this round, a David Bowie question.
Ooh.
How familiar are you with his discography?
Not as much as I should be.
I'm going to read you three song titles. I want you to tell me which album they came off of.
Okay.
The classic David Bowie hits Changes, Life on Mars, and Queen Bitch all first appear on what album, which features keyboard by Rick Wakeman of the band Straubs?
Rick Wakeman was in Straubs.
Yes.
What other band was Rick Wakeman in? He was in Yes.
Yes, I believe he was.
Yeah. Rick Wakeman's the fucking shit, dude.
You gotta check out some of those Straubs, man.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, he was in Yes 5 times between 1971 and 2004.
Right. Yeah. I saw Yes a couple of years ago, but he was already not in the band then.
He's still around and tweeting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's alive. He's one of the best keyboardists in rock history. Super important guy.
The classic David Bowie hits Changes, Life on Mars, and Queen Bitch all first appear on what David Bowie album?
man and face the strange changes. Man, when he died, there's that one fucking line from Changes that like everyone was posting. That was so good. I can't look it up. I was going to look up the line, but I fear that
the it'll album, produce the album.
Yeah. That it will produce the album.
Mm.
Like David Bowie.
Right.
God damn. Life on Mars. You know, it's got a Ziggy Stardust feel to this. Changes, Androgyny, Life on Mars, Outer Space, Queen Bitch.
Do you know the full title of that album?
I don't. I know it, but I don't know it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know I've heard it before, but I don't know.
I'm going to need the full title of this album as an answer.
Are you really?
Well, of the answer. I'm not saying that that's the correct album or anything, but I'm going to need the full title. Just putting you in the hot seat, that's all.
So I'm going to say Ziggy Stardust.
Okay. Many people submitted Ziggy Stardust as an answer, but that was the next album that was released after this one. The full title, by the way, is The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
The album that those songs are on is called Hunky Dory.
Fucking Hunky Dory.
Yep.
You know, I was trying to think. I knew there was a name that was like that. That was like, I was likening it to the fucking Police album. The one we couldn't think of that I can't think of now.
The fourth one.
Yeah.
Quadrophenia. No, that's different band. Yeah. I can't remember either.
Fucking what the, oh my God.
It's on the Mike Canary episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like something, something.
Hunky Dory. Well, while you're looking at that up, I'm just going to tell you, I feel really bad for one of my teams, House Snow, because they knew that the final category at Live Trivia was going to be David Bowie.
Zenyatta Mandata.
Zenyatta Mandata. Yes.
Hunky Dory.
House Snow, they showed me their group text they had been studying up on David Bowie all week. But they did not look at his discography at all. It was all these facts about David Bowie's life that they thought I was going to ask. And they told me, they were like, he's not going to just ask a question about the music. That would be too simple. But yeah, Hunky Dory is the album that those songs come off of. Some extra facts about that. I was curious about where the phrase Hunky Dory came from. This is what I found. There was a breath freshener called Hunky Dory, which was introduced in 1868. In the 1930s, a song from Christie's Minstrel Show featured the song Josephus Orange Blossom, which contained the phrase Red Hot Hunky Dory Contraband. And this is when it really entered the mainstream because it was a very popular song from those shows. But still another theory has the expression deriving from an 1866. I don't know where this is sourced from, but apparently as far back as 1866, there was a New York dialect word for home base. They would use the word hunk, which in turn derives from the Dutch word honk, which means good.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your last question?
I am.
All right. What is, I'm sorry, my category is Canada.
I'm familiar.
What is the smallest Canadian province?
My map. I'm not so familiar with my Canada map.
My map.
My map is not my showing neck. Up.
My map. Like my provinces and my territories.
Who was that? My neck, my back. Who performed that song?
I don't know. It was a woman.
Trina?
Might be Trina. It was someone who nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Lick my pussy and my crack.
Is it Ontario? That's my guess. Ontario.
The correct answer, if you knew your provinces, it might be a little bit more obvious.
Yeah.
The correct answer is Prince Edward Island.
About that
Prince
island.
Edward Island.
Yep.
PEI.
Not part
I'm
of
going
the
to Maine in August. Tim and Joey I want to go to Canada.
Bring this man to
Canada. Can we go to Canada? Can we go to Prince Edward Island? I want to see some fucking birds and shit. Let me see a whale.
Bring it to him.
Bring me a whale.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with our final questions. We're back.
Guess who's back? Well, we already done that.
We did that a couple episodes again. Yeah.
Can't do that again.
There's only one song about being back that we know.
No, there's more.
Yeah.
Back in Black.
Back to Neither black. Of us are wearing black.
No.
Yep. We're very colorful today.
We are. A lot of blues.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking break. We were just talking on break about you had a question regarding a saxophonist.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a quick best worst answers, not an official segment.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's funnier just to bring it up in conversation anyway.
Sure. I like that klezmer music.
It's fun, very good.
What saxophone player was born on June 6, 1956 is something that I asked this week. And
now, if you had asked me,
yeah,
a couple of people I would have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought of maybe David Sanborn. Who's maybe not as well known. David Kaz.
Is David Sanborn for the Kaz in nod. E Street Band?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Clarence Clemons was the saxophonist for the E Street Band forever.
Right. My bad.
Cancer took him.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Charlie Parker, Birdland. Those are a couple of people that would pop up in my mind amongst the actual answer, which is
Kenny G.
Yes, Kenneth G.
Mm-hmm. But so many people wrote down B.B. King.
Now, when you say so many, how many fucking people wrote down a guitarist?
I want to say at least 70% of the teams.
I mean, all right.
Yeah.
I get not knowing the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
But like, B.B. King?
It's bizarre. It's like, I got to wonder people if somebody know overheard the name of his it.
Guitar.
Like, yeah. Lucille, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to feel like maybe somebody overheard a team talking about it and there was a game of telephone with the wrong answer. Like, oh, they said B.B. King. That's a good guess.
So I had a three-way tie
mm-hmm.
for my first round yesterday.
Wow.
Three rounds or three teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm going to find an easy one. Whoever raises their hand first, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, what band was Peter Criss in? No one knew it.
That's the band is Kiss, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, it's fucking Kiss, guys.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not here to say that Kiss is good or great. I'm here to say that it's fucking Kiss.
Yeah. And I don't know. I had a similar moment where I had a team and nobody on the team could name one member of the Beatles. It's like, how are you alive in society?
Yeah.
How have you made it this far?
And why? And why are you still here?
Even people that don't like the Beatles could name a Beatle.
Yeah.
They could name one Beatle.
Like, that is someone trying to keep you from knowing this, I guess.
Yeah.
Like some kind of sick dream.
All right, let's get into these final questions.
All right.
Yep.
Here's your final question.
Mm-hmm.
The Wisden Almanac is kept with reference information regarding what sport?
Wisden.
Wisden.
Information about what sport?
Indeed.
The Wisden Almanac.
Almanac.
Hmm. There's two almanacs I'm familiar with. One is Poor Richard's, which was Ben Franklin's creation. And the other is the Farmer's Almanac, which I think might have been based on Poor Richard's originally, but now it's its own thing. Wisden Almanac? I can't say that word.
Wisden.
The Wisden Almanac. When I think of WI, I'm going to tennis for Wimbledon, but I don't think it's that. I have a feeling Wisden is somebody's name that is connected to a sport, but it could be any sport. because I don't know.
You're not much of a sports guy, truth be told.
No, not really.
So it could be a famous person in any sport.
Right. So one guess is as good as another. I'm going to guess that if it's, there's an almanac about it, it's a relatively old sport. Maybe, you know, that was around when it was popular to write an almanac. So I'm going to go with, basketball, actually, because, you know, that predates, I think even officially it predates, baseball and American football. Wisden. That's a weird name for basketball, though. But again, I have no point of reference, so I'm just going to go with it. Basketball.
John Wisden from 1826 to 1884 was a competitor to Fred Lillywhite's The Guide to Cricketers.
Cricket.
It is a cricket almanac.
I guess there's kind of a British tinge to that name.
Still published annually in the United Kingdom. The description Bible of Cricket was first used when it was reviewed.
Wow. So. Well, like you said, not too big of a fan of sports, so I'm going to return the favor and ask you a question about cheese.
Oh, hate cheese.
Yeah, not a cheese fan.
Except for mozzarella, which is food glue, not cheese.
Casu Marzu is a type of cheese made in Sardinia, Italy, that is banned in the U.S. and in the EU due to the fact that it contains which living ingredient? The cheese is Casu Marzu. It's made in Sardinia, Italy, and it's banned in the U.S. and the EU.
I think I know this, but I might not. Because I'm the kind of person that will, when people go, why do you hate cheese? Oh, I've got reasons.
Let's hear them.
Oh, well, I mean, aside from just the texture, just the making of things like blue cheese and stuff like this, like, I will look into, like, how gross. People make such gross shit that is cheese-related. Fuck, It's like blue cheese is mold. Like, I don't want that. Which living ingredient? I want to say Casu Marzu. I want to say it's maggots.
It is. You're right.
Ugh. How awful.
Kyle wrote this question while I was making rice for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I got to tell you about this. And I was like, please don't. I'm about to eat some rice here. But yeah, Casu Marzu is soft and liquidous due to the digestion process of the insect larvae.
Those fucking words.
That are introduced to further the fermentation process. And yes, it's banned in the EU and the United States because the maggots can actually survive human digestion and lead to sickness, like, because they can live on while they're in your intestines. So, yeah, stay away from that. She's like, I'm down. I'm going to eat it. And I'm like, you're crazy. I love cheese. But there's a line. A line needs to be drawn. And that line to me is insect larvae.
That's so fucking disgusting.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. We'll leave you with that. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That starts at 7 p.m. Each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Don't forget to mark your calendars. June 18th for Ladies Night Trivia at Gathering Cape Coral. That's Tuesday, June 18th, 6 p.m. Don't worry, they will not be serving Casu Marzu. They have good food there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support us by sharing our podcast on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud.
Thanks.
And Tim from San Diego.
Thank you.
Pat's Garden Service. Thank you. Thanks also to our team captains, Fiston and Catcher.
Yes.
Their old nickname. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil. Big thanks also to Arumple Snailedskin, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J.
All of you.
You can write us a Rate My Question. Been a minute since we had one of those. Please write us in Rate My Question or a miscorrection at
nononsensetrivia@gmail.com.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group you can join as well to chat with us and other listeners. Just search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on Facebook for that. And finally, once again, don't forget to leave us one of them perfect 5-star ratings.
5 stars only.
Please.
You can also rate us on Facebook if you want to.
Rate us everywhere.
Rate us everywhere.
You see a rating all the way to the right.
Who do you know that's a nerd? Who do you know that would like to hear our podcast? Who do you know that listens to podcasts? It's like, I'm listening to the same podcast over and over again. That would like this one. We're almost to our 50th episode. It's not too late to catch up. You can listen.
That's right. We had a golden 25th, and we're going to have a platinum 50th.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
So old.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners. Have a great week.